He smashed it out to the boundary. That's the game.
This is ABC Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
Grandstand Digital. Online.
And now on the ABC Listen app.
Well, the match hadn't been moving too quickly, but 15 wickets falling on day three of the Boxing Day Test at the MCG. Alistair Nicholson, Dirk Nannis and Ed Cowan with you on Grandstand at Stumps. And Australian spinner Nathan Lyon has come across to join us as well. Welcome, Nathan.
Thanks for having me.
Talk us through the day's play. I would imagine there was a sense of deflation when Australia was dismissed for 151, but a spring in the step at the end of the day to have India five down.
Oh, yeah, no, and credit goes to, I know the bowlers really come back and fight back. Yeah, it's disappointing to get bowled out 150. No one ever likes to do that, but to come back and show a lot of spirit and a lot of fight and to get them about 5 for 50 and only lead by 340, I believe we can still win this, and no doubt in that change room, we all believe we can still win it. We just need hard work. That's all it is.
So is it key probably to dismiss them somewhere under 400? What, I mean, what is going to be gettable on that pitch, do you think?
Well, we just got to believe we're good enough to do it, no matter what they set us. There's no point walking out there thinking you're going to lose. So we just need to have that belief and come out tomorrow morning, back up what we did. Hopefully the bowlers can rest up and Paddy can have a spell like he did tonight. But, whatever they get, we're just going to have to do our best.
The bowlers would have been excused for going out and being completely exhausted. Where did the bowling group find that energy?
No, they were, and we are. But that's test cricket. You find yourself back up against the wall a couple of times, so you just got to find a way and fight. There's a lot of pride and proud people wearing the braggy green, so we just got to fight our backside off, and you're pretty proud of the bowling unit, to be honest.
What do you put that batting performance down to?
Mine? I fell over in my front foot like I usually do. Got me front pad bone off. That's all I've got to say about the batting.
You need to follow up, Dirk. Come on.
What changed today? Suddenly there were 15 wickets. What do you think changed in the pitch, or was it just execution?
I think it's a bit of execution. I think there's obviously a little... The pitch is going up and down a little bit, and obviously you've got two world-class bowling attacks going at it. So obviously we weren't good enough with the bat, and obviously we have to learn from our first innings, which is a positive. So if we can go in there and reflect tonight and learn, then hopefully we have a better result in the second innings.
There'll be a lot of soul-searching from the batting group, I would have thought, overnight. What aspects of their game do you think they're going to have to change in the second innings with...
Mate, I'm a bowler. I back our batters and I support our batters, so they got my backing. But yeah, I'm a bowler. I'm not going to stand here and start giving out batting techniques, that's for sure.
Nathan Lyon is with us on Grandstand at Stumps. How encouraged were you going out to bowl in the second innings, Nathan, by watching Ravi Jadeja today? Because it seemed when he was bowling today that a wicket might fall at any moment. Did you draw encouragement from seeing a bit of turn?
Oh yeah, always. You like to see the footmarks in there, and there's a few out there. It'd be nice to be bowling on day four, but anyway, that's where our game is at, and there's a little bit there for me. I'm just going to have to hopefully bowl in partnerships, and hopefully we can crack the game open at Sunday.
And we've talked a little about the bowling group, but if you could reflect on an individual for a moment, Pat Cummins' performance, not only in the second innings, I suppose, but he bowled very well in the first innings too.
Pat Cummins is a superstar. He's an X factor. He's one of the best bowlers in the world in my eyes, and to have him on the Australian side is pretty special. He's always fighting. He's one guy that will never give up, and we saw that today. So for him to have 4 for 10 or whatever he's got, it's pretty special. He's a pretty special cricketer, to be honest.
How do you see this pitch behaving tomorrow?
Pretty similar to today, I reckon. It's going to be hard work with the ball and bat. We're just going to have to do the basics well and really show some fight, and that's all we can do.
And give us a little insight into how you now recover, given how many overs that the bowlers have been pushed through. What's the recovery like tonight, the process to get yourselves right for tomorrow?
It'll be simple, ice bath and all that stuff, a bit of physio for the big quicks, but mainly it's just make sure you get a good night's sleep and just try and get as much rest as you can and make sure we're ready to go, and warm and fresh, ready to go, not like we were in the first 5 minutes of our first second innings here. We're a bit rusty, but it's fair to say we probably weren't warm. It happened all pretty quick, but hopefully we'll just rest up and get a good night's sleep and have a bit of fun.
Dream up a famous Australian victory. Nathan Lyon, thanks for your time on Grandstand at Stumps.
Too easy. Thanks, guys.
That's Australian spinner Nathan Lyon with us at ground level. Dirk Nannis is still having a good old-fashioned grin. He was giving you absolutely nothing there when it came to the batting, Dirk. It's a hard thing to come out and try and address. I mean, Ed talked very eloquently and articulately today about the technical deficiencies that were exposed with the Australian batting today. It's been an ongoing issue, Ed, and something that or can it be resolved between an innings? Is there a mental switch that can be changed that will help?
Look, there are quite a few ingredients that go into good batting. One is technical, one is mental, one is tactical, one is emotional. And good batsmen draw on different elements of each of these buckets to craft an innings. And, you know, there were certainly some technical deficiencies today on show, particularly around the dismissals, but I thought tactically the Aussies lacked the ability to sum the conditions up, rotate the strike, find ways of putting pressure on the Indian bowlers, and that doesn't mean playing big shots, but certainly maybe changing your guard, batting out of your crease, batting back in your crease, little things that can tactically change the momentum of the game. If you come out, ask for centre, stand on centre to a guy that is reverse swinging the ball, he's going to get you out. So the tactical bucket needs to be tapped into, and that, at the end of the day, all the batsmen face 30 balls, I think, right from 1 to 8 face 30 balls. So there's a mental element of getting out once you're in. That's purely a mental error. So there are different little ingredients they're going to need to dip into and sharpen up, because you can't get in Test cricket and just get out, because you're going to have a very short career.
Six of the Australian batsmen got starts in the Australian first innings, but the top score was 22 for Marcus Harris and also Tim Payne. Travis Head made 20, Usman Khawaja made 21, Sean Marsh made 19, and Pat Cummins made 17 before doing late damage with the ball for Australia. How difficult do you see that pitch being to bat on tomorrow? Did we see signs of any further wear and tear today?
I don't think there's no doubt it's a tough wicket to score freely on. I don't think it's a tough wicket to not get out on. I think that, you know, we saw India lose their wickets tonight, mainly to a little bit of luck. There was obviously some high skill and high fast bowling, but you get a sense that if you're willing to get through your first 30 balls and then stick to the formula that has succeeded for those 30 balls and do it for another 30 balls, you get Pujara's innings in the first dig of the game. So, yeah, some balls were turning out of the footmarks, but they weren't exploding over people's shoulder. The ball was reverse swinging, but once it starts reverse swinging, you know that it's going to be reversing, so you can plan for it. You can adjust your tactics. Just these little moments in the game that Australia really lost today. And there were no surprises. India didn't come out and do something completely out of the box. They should have been expecting full straight bowling with straight fields. And that's exactly what they got, and they had no answers.
You talked about momentum for batsmen. I don't imagine Ravindra Jadeja allows a batsman to get any real momentum, because he's constantly coming at you. He gets through his overs so quickly. He took 2 for 45 off his 25 overs today. There isn't a lot of thinking time between balls for a batsman. Can that throw you off your game a little bit?
Yeah, it can, but at the end of the day, he can't bowl the ball until you're facing up. So there are always little techniques that batsmen can use to slow the pace of the game down. If you're not happy with the pace of the game, you can walk away, go tie your shoelace up, collect your thoughts, whatever that might be, ask for guard, mark your guard. You have control of the pace of the game, and if you're way too slow, the umpire will ask you to quicken up. But to allow a guy just to settle in and bowl on a handkerchief for 20-odd overs, I think is a dangerous recipe.
All right, so India 5 for 54 in its second innings, leading by 346. Australia had started the day at none for 8, dismissed for 151. We really were treated to an absolute exhibition of fast bowling from Jasprit Bumrah. Career best figures for him of 6 for 33. Let's take in some of that magic.
It's in the air. It's taken down at fine leg. That's the end of Harris. It was pitch short from Bumrah. Harris went into the pull shot. Don't think he was in control at all.
Bumrah in again, round the wicket to Marsh. Full toss, he yorked him. Has he got him on the boot? Big appeal and out. What a delivery from Bumrah. Complete change up. And he is done for Marsh. Gone 19. Here is Head facing up to Bumrah. He's bowled him. All ends up straight through the defences. Spectacular from Jasprit Bumrah.
Excellent bowling, India. Excellent bowling, Bumrah. Extra pace.
Bumrah into Tim Payne. And he's edged. Taken by Rishabh Pant. Diving to his right and taken low. Payne turns on his heels. And the Aussie captain is heading back to the dressing room. Another body blow for Australia. Bumrah up to the wicket now. Bowling, looking for Yorker, strikes him on the boot, given out. Brilliant again by Jasprit Bumrah. A brilliant executioner of the Yorker, and he's got a fifer at the MCG in the Boxing Day test. Bumrah to Hazelwood, going for the Yorker, bowled him. Off stump, Bumrah has 6 wickets. What a class act. Australia have been rolled over for 151 in the first innings here in the Boxing Day test.
In his first year of test match cricket, 9th match, and Jasprit Bumrah has taken 45 wickets, including 6 for 33 as India dismissed Australia for 151. Alistair Nicholson, Dirk Nattis and Ed Cowan with you on Grandstand at Stumpstead. And Dirk, take us through what impressed you about the way Jasprit Bumrah bowled today.
We'll keep coming back to that dismissal of Sean Marsh. The confidence of being able to bowl that slower ball, last ball before lunch. The ability to bowl around the wicket so comfortably. To bowl the first slower ball of the game and hit him on the toe, plumb in front. That's not one of those dismissals where it's batter error. That is just genuinely high-quality fast bowling and just immaculate skill. And that's something that, as a fast bowler, you probably only get a few wickets in your career, really, where you've absolutely done someone like a dinner and exactly your plan, and it was exactly what you were planning on doing before the ball, and probably for the few balls before that you were teeing up that was going to be your last ball before lunch. And it would have brought a massive smile to his face. And as he was going off, he was absolutely beaming.
If you're going to win in Australia, you need to come with a special fast bowler. And South Africa have come over here previously with Rabada or Steyn. And what we're seeing is a guy who is going to be a superstar of the game in all formats.
It's kind of like a Rabada, really, when Rabada first came in.
That's exactly what I keep dragging my own mind to. It's the same X factor. It's high airspeed. It's incredible control. And the skill to not bowl a bad ball, considering how little test cricket he's played, to execute all those skills, whether it's the reverse swinging ball, or the slower ball, as you mentioned. It's so good to watch. It really is. And you need those people in your team if you're going to come to Australia and challenge them on their home soil.
We really did get the fast bowling double act today. We saw 7 wickets fall across the course of the opening 2 days' play at the MCG and 15 on day 3. Australia dismissed, so 10 wickets in the Australian innings, then 5 in that Indian innings in the second innings as well. And the spearhead of the Australian attack was Pat Cummins.
Ball's short, and it's up in the air. He's caught in the gully. Total miscue. A gentle catch to Khawaja in the gully. He could not control that bouncing ball from Cummins. He gets the wicket of Bahati out for 13. India 1 for 28. Cummins in again for Jawad. Goes on the flick. He's caught. He's headed to Harris around the corner. He's out for a duck, can you believe that?
Sun breaks through some cloud here at the MCG. It's shining down on Pat Cummins as he comes up and bowls to Kohli. Kohli hits it in the air and he's caught by the man at that squarish leg gully as well. Pat Cummins, he has breathed life into this Australian team. He has dismissed Virat Kohli, who very, very rarely makes a duck. He's made one at the MCG in a Boxing Day test and he's trudging off the ground. 3 for 28. India has lost 3 for none. Cummins down the leg side, a feather on it. Caught behind, finger stays down and eventually goes up. Erasmus delayed his decision, but the sound was clear as day. Rahani down the leg side, caught behind. India is 4 down for 32. Wow, someone's lit the fire here, Dirk Nattis, at the MCG.
It did get us going. That last session was absolutely absorbing stuff, and there have been stages where there's been a little bit of seagull commentary and experts kicking back in lazy chairs, but by the end of today, your head was poking out the window of the commentary box, just wishing to see more of it. Pat Cummins was actually on a hat-trick because he took the wicket of Virat Kohli off the last ball of an over. Then he picked up Rahani,
first ball of an over. Out came Rohit Sharma. Wasn't far away from taking the hat-trick as well, Dirk.
Yeah, it was catchable height around the corner. Harris diving to the right, couldn't quite get there. The ball came too quick. But I guess it shows the ability and the challenge that you pose to a batsman when you execute a plan. They had a plan on the leg side. You would normally say that's not great fast bowling because you're bowling middle and leg and on the hip. And the batsman can normally score quite freely on that leg side. But because they had the catches around the corner and Pat Cummins did not miss, he just kept channeling that area, the odd bouncer in there. It was just a good fast bowling to a plan. And Jasprit Bumrah on the flip side was also able to execute that.
I think the key to the success was how straight he was bowling. I think prior to that, when India was sort of none for 20 or 30, I think it was at the time, they bowled that fourth stump line that they really went at in the first innings with little success, and he went straight and full. And as a batsman, it's such a reflex shot off the pads. And when the wicket's slow like it is, you try and create more pace off the bat by sort of flicking your wrists. And they just flicked it straight to the man. So,
do you think Virat's dismissal, do you think that was a reflex shot? That's, to me, it seemed like that's exactly... The ball's on the hip, that's exactly where you would normally play it. Oh, no, there's a guy there.
That's right. It's a deliberate reflex shot. It's not a... there's no preconceived idea. But as soon as you see the ball on, you know, tucking in your leg side, it's just an easy one. But the pace of the wicket, it hits the inside edge of the bat and goes in the air as opposed to flying along the ground.
Pat Cummins has been speaking with Neroli Meadows, this interview just moments ago, courtesy of Fox Cricket.
That was some magic out there.
Yeah, I was probably the most surprised person here, to be honest. I think my first spell was bowling about 120 kilometres, so it took me a while to get going. And, yeah, just one of those things that everything seemed to work. So, yeah, I can't really remember another spell like that.
What was the pick of your wickets from your point of view?
Oh, probably the first one. You know, obviously got him in the first innings with the bouncer, so that was an obvious plan, and it came off again. And, yeah, the other ones, I think, were lucky that they just happened to hit at the fielders.
The hat-trick ball, so close. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I was trying to bowl a bouncer, to be honest. I think it got up to his waist, so I don't think I could have had too much luck that I would have got a hat-trick. So, yeah, Harry took two really good catches in there. Yeah.
7 wickets in the first 2 days, 15 today. Is the pitch playing that much differently, or what do you put it down to?
I think it's got a little bit slower and a little bit lower. Makes it quite hard to score runs. As you saw with kind of our batsmen, it's hard to really turn over the strike. I think that's probably the only thing. Still not playing too many tricks, not really spinning too much.
It's still tough, but do you dare to dream now? Have you put yourselves in a position?
Well, I think when we ran out to bowl there, you know, you kind of look at maybe we can drag it out, maybe get ourselves in a position to draw the match. And I think the way we've come out, they're 350 ahead now. You never know, we knock them over early. The wicket's still pretty good. We've seen a lot of matches here go right to the end of fifth day, so you never know, I dare to dream yet.
It was a pleasure to watch you today. Well done.
Thanks, Naz. Cheers.
When you consider Patrick Cummins had bowled 34 overs, taking 3 for 72 in the first innings, have to come out. Dirk, you would have been in the ice bath and refusing to get out, wouldn't you?
That's a tough graft. Once you go 5 down and you're trying to get a break, you know, oh, no, not again. I've got to go out front up again. It's a hard slog. And you start blaming the batsman. You start getting upset with it. There's no way you can escape that feeling. Oh, geez, these guys aren't doing their job. But credit, he bounced back and he executed very well.
So we've heard from Pat Cummins. The architect today of Australia's demise, of course, was Jasprit Bumrah. We brought you the highlights of his wickets from earlier today. 6 wickets for Jasprit Bumrah. He's also been speaking with Neroli Meadows, courtesy of Fox Cricket.
How proud are you right now?
Very happy. In the last game, I was a bit unlucky, so I always believe that everything goes in the bank, so it cashed in today. So, yeah, really happy.
The one wicket in particular, Sean Marsh, talk us through the build-up to that and that slower ball that got him.
Yeah, the wicket became very slow, so nothing was really happening. So Rohit was there at mid-off, so he suggested he could try a slow ball, which I usually bowl more in the one-day format. So yeah, it was a good day. It worked, and the execution was good as well. So yeah, really happy.
Is it true that you perfected the Yorker by bowling at the skirting in your house because your mum wanted to keep the noise down and not bowling at the floors and walls all the time?
No, as a youngster, you can't play all the time. So I used to play a lot at my home. So this was the thing that I used to do as a kid because I used to love bowling. So that was the best way to create less noise. So, yeah, it could be the reason.
And you're pretty close with your mum. She'd be pretty proud right now, I'd imagine.
Yeah, she is, but she doesn't watch a lot of cricket because she gets hyper. But, yeah, she'll be very happy after watching today's match.
And what about where this one's placed? How confident are you of still getting the job done? Because that was an action-packed finish.
Yeah, we lost a few more wickets than we wanted to. But, yeah, we'll assess tomorrow morning and we'll try to add as much as we can and then hopefully get them out.
Well, well done today. You were absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, had Mrs. Boomerang been watching today, I think she would have been decidedly hyper. Dirk Nannis, Ed Cowan, and that was Jasprit Bumrah, courtesy of Fox Cricket.
What a superstar. What a challenge he's going to pose. I think out of today, the worrying thing for me, from an Australian perspective, they can have that optimism within their group, but I think it's misplaced because I don't think there were just 10 mistakes that they made today. I thought there were so many poorly judged shots that they played that they didn't get dismissed on, that that's the worry moving forward. So, for example, there were a lot of shots, back cuts from Harris when none of the Indians were really playing that. Pull shots from Mitch Marsh. Yes, he got it out of the middle, but and we say good shot, but really, was that the play? I don't think that was. There were a lot of that, and I think we can say that for every single batsman in the Australian team, is they were playing shots that weren't in the percentages that were required for them to push the game deep. And I think that's a big mental change. That's not just one execution problem. That is, over the course of 30 balls, five execution problems. How do you flick all those overnight?
Yeah, it's not just an execution, Dirk. It's a planning and element because we spoke regularly during the broadcast of people being hit on the pads and half appeals and, oh, no, it's just going down leg side. How many? I can't remember the last half appeal from the Australians hitting an Indian on the pad because they're using their bat. They're batting leg side of the ball. They're trying to hit the ball with a vertical bat through the offside. They're not trying to hit the ball through the onside. So they're giving themselves a chance to hit the ball with the full width of the bat. So there are little things that need to be changed from a tactical point of view, from a technical point of view, and an execution point of view.
I think as an Australian team, we're very good at going up a gear, at scoring fast, normal pace, you know, striking at 50. Some days everything's going right, let's strike at 90. But are we good enough to strike at 30? That's what Pujara's good at. That's what Virat Kohli's shown he can be good at in this test match and in Perth. How can we go and change down a gear when the situation requires? I don't think we've shown that, and that's going to be the challenge.
That's what the man next to you, Ed Cowan, was very good at as well. Dirk Nannis, thanks to you. Ed Cowan, thanks to you. Just a little bit of news coming through of an unfortunate nature from the MCG test. Spectators in the MCG's famous Bay 13 have been warned to cease racially motivated taunting of Indian players. So Cricket Australia has dealt an official warning to certain spectators around language and chants that they were using from Bay 13 today. So that's a very unfortunate thing that you would hope would be nipped in the bud very quickly. India 5 for 54 at stumps on day 3 at the MCG. The lead is 346 runs. 15 wickets falling today. What awaits us tomorrow? Make sure you join us from 10:05 Australian Eastern Daylight Time for day 4.